from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who needs an adjustment, but I'm not sure which, what I need adjusting. I need some fine tuning and some adjusting. And I'm not sure if it's my UHF or my VHF, or my, WTF, but it's time for Sleep With Me. What is your Scoots? It's the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, which just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix Sleep Quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. This episode of Sleep With Me was made possible by hard work of Chris Posey Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edits our episodes and does theme music. Carl W., who edits episodes. Jonathan Mann is on our lullabies. It's Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. You can make sure you subscribe to the podcast, whatever podcast app you use. And you know who subscribes to love and kindness are the moderators of the listener Facebook group. Julian, Jennifer, Lauren, Keith, and Sarah and Stacy, and I want to thank them so much. And what do you say we keep this show going? Hey, all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to attempt to do the rest. What I'm going to try to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, or physical sensations, time, temperature, travel, someone else's at me, someone else is traveling, changes in work schedule, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to distract you from that. I'd like to create a safe place, like I said, where you can relax, where bedtime maybe feels a little bit less serious, a little bit less intense. Reclaim your bed or your bedtime is someplace where you can unwind instead of saying, what the frick, I just want to close my eyes and go to sleep already. Or, you know, if it's the middle of the night that you can find a comfort, you know, voice, once you get used to my creaky dulcet tones, you say, okay, this is my boyfriend. So I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, tangents, like whatever that is. Words, I think that's not word stumbles. That's letter stumbles. Sometimes I stumble on words. Other times it's right on the letter. I think what's the most stumbling, like what letter causes the most stumbles? I'll cross my fingers. Hopefully we'll remember that because I have a couple. I don't want to make an ass out of you and me letters, but I don't think any of those ones are very trippy. I mean, maybe the U. We'll come back to it. But if you're new here, let me give you a couple of things. Like, I'm glad you're here. I hope this podcast can help. Thanks for checking it out. Structurally, the show starts with like 4 to 5, 6 minutes of business. That's how we keep all the archives free and keep the podcast coming out twice a week. Then we have an intro, which is about 12 minutes, and we're in the middle of it. And it's kind of a show within a show to help you fall asleep for some people, for new people to make you feel welcome or to earn your trust, as I said. And for regular listeners, I don't know, regular listeners use it all different ways. And then we'll have a story. Tonight, instead of it, it'll be like a story. It's a board game unboxing. Like an unboxing video, but without the video, without the excitement. Like the furious unwrapping and unboxing, that doesn't happen without the like looking, you know, without the seeing of the like shiny. It will just be, I'll just be going through a new game I just picked up, a card game. And that'll be about 45, 50 minutes. And then we'll have some thank yous and good nights at the end. So all told, I'll be here about an hour. Even though it's a podcast, you don't really need to listen to it. Now you can. So if you can't sleep, there's other listeners out there that are listening to this show for company in the deep, dark night. I'm here all the way to the end. So I'll be here to keep you company, but you really don't need to listen to me if you don't want to, or if you want to try out like barely listening to me. And ideally, my voice, even if the speaker or the headphones stay in the same place, my voice starts to get at a distance and, you know, you drift away That would be great. But whatever works. There's some listeners that listen in the middle of the night. There's some listeners that listen all night. And I'm just here to give the show the best shot I can. And it's not really to put you to sleep so much as to be here while you fall asleep, to be your company, to be your friend in the deep, dark night, a friend you don't need to listen to. You can say, interesting. What were you going to try to do next, Scoots? Oh, thanks, Brain. What I like to do is, with the intro, is create a metaphor for how the podcast works or why it works. Because I'm not really sure. I think the podcast is, like, I get the saying mixed up. Is the sum of the parts greater than the whole, or is the whole greater than the sum of the parts? Whichever one of those fits is what the one I would say in that situation. But what I was thinking is, a lot of times I stumble over my words when I make this show. But just back, like, whatever that was 3 minutes ago, I actually was stumbling over the letters. And I never have thought about this. I think I just stumbled over the letters in letters, because it sounded like I said leathers. And I guess I didn't realize how close those two words sounded anyway. But it's like, oh, wait, sometimes I don't stumble over my words. I'm stumbling over the individual letters. And if you're walking, or in my case, your brain kind of walks anyway, it tries to walk. Believe me, my brain's tried to walk out so many times. Once again, don't let, you know, just like there was a Doctor Who episode like that. I said, okay, I'll see you. You know, don't forget to bring some beans with you or something. Yeah, but I say, like, what words are you most likely to stumble over? Because, you know, I think if you're, like, when I'm talking and with this podcast, I am kind of trying to monitor my audio, keep it sleepy and meandering, monitor my pace. So I say, hey, I'm right here with you, right in your ears, keep you company. And so in some place, like, it's hard to visualize this, but I am actually walking on my words, which you say, no wonder. And I can hear one of my phonics teachers saying, well, no, you never had any respect for phonics. You were always walking all over your words. And I say, actually, in my phonics book, I walked on that a few times, not even on purpose, just because I left it. And then I came in from playing in the mud, and the first thing in my way was my phonics book. So think about it, if you're like talking or walking, if they were the same thing and you're walking along these words, just like I'm talking now, which ones would be most likely to trip us up? In, let's see, what are those called? Uppercase and lowercase words, right? Like in A, either way, depending on your speed, for the most part, like in a lowercase A has that little bend. So I'd say, well, that one, it could trip you, but it's more of like a bump. So most more than unlikely. And then a capital A, probably not, because you'd have to climb over it anyway, or you'd jump it. Now, if you had to, like, that's maybe this is why they came up with capital. Probably not the most likely theory, but if a capital A was in the middle of a word, you could trip right over it. That would be, they'd say, who put this capital A here? This is not a good idea. Somebody's going to trip over it. Okay, so B, again, I think a lowercase b more likely, like, use that, like, vault over it, or you'd bump into it versus tripping over it. And again, capital B, probably just bump into it, or, like, get up and slide down. C, I'd say a C, like, uppercase C, not trouble. Let's just stick with lowercase letters, because that's usually, like, usually I'm tripping in the middle of a sentence anyway. And we got, however, I don't know how many letters are in the alphabet, but we don't have all night. A C you could trip over, but, like, I'd say that's in the more, like, possible, but not, like, more possible than likely. Or no, less, like, more possible than unlikely, but not likely. A, B, C, D. A D, you definitely, just like a B, bump into it. Now, you could, it could, like, if you're really, like, don't walk around letters, like, on your phone, because if it's at the start of a word, you could like bump your shin on it and then bump into the upper part of it. So don't use your phone when you're walking on letters either. Like, don't text and walk on letters or in general. This is like a simple, this isn't a bit, like, this is just part of my dyslexia. I can't jump in the middle of the alphabet. So A, B, C, D, E. E, I'd say, I don't know if it's the biggest offender, but that one's a tripper. Because even if you think you're going to step over it or on it, you could get it caught under that, you know, awning or whatever you want to call it and get your foot in there, and then you're going to take a tumble. So E, put it on the list. First letter on the list is E. No offense, E. You're just a, you're a menace to those of us walking. I got to get through the whole alphabet. F, you'd bump into A, B, C, D, E, F, G. A G could be trippy, but more likely that's like a rock you'd step on. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. H, bump into. I, definitely put that in the trip list. So maybe these vowels, H, I, J, that's a tripper, because it's just an I with a hook on the bottom. J, J, K, you'd bump into, or I would, but I wouldn't trip over it. It's a whole different podcast opening. Letters I bump into on a regular basis. I say, hey, sorry about that, Kay. And no, sorry, I wasn't looking where I was going. And they say, my, you have beautiful eyes. Okay, H-I-J-K-L, bump into that one. H-I-J-K-L-M. M and N are probably, they could be, you could skin a knee on an M because you might think you're over the first hump and then the second one. But if you put your foot fully on an M, I think you're going to be fine. Same with an N. Like, if you're kind of paying attention, I'd say those are in the, like higher than a 50% chance of me tripping over, but not in the level of an E or an I or a J. What letter were we on, by the way? M, N, L, M. Oh, I missed a bunch of them, didn't I? A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N. H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O. O could be, I'd say O is in the 65% of tripping over, but not a menace like I labeled those other four letters. L-M-L-M-N, H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P. P, I'd put it like with an O because it's L-M-N-O-P. Q, I would say Q is more likely than a P because just the round part is facing you. Maybe a Q and a P are pretty trippable. Q, L, M, N, O, A, B, C, F, G, H, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R. R is definitely, because you might not see it, kind of like one of those faucet things. Really take out your shins. Wear shin guards if you're going through a lot of R's. R, S. S is definitely one to watch out for. Probably not. I'd probably say like E, I, J, S, J, K, L, Q, R, S, T. Now, U, that's the number one offender. No offense, U, but you are, along with some of these other ones, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z, all of those, the whole end of the alphabet. Don't walk near it. I never thought about that till this moment in my life. Who would have thought I had to live that long to say, oh, not all letters. You can walk on some letters, but don't go near the end of the alphabet unless you're really paying attention, along with E, I, J, and maybe some of the other letters I forgot. But then when you get to S, then, you know, you trip on an S, you bump into a T, and then who knows how you make it all the way to Z. And then at Z, at least Z shaped, so you could like lean over on Z and put your whole body on it and say, how did I get here? I think there's a upside down V stuck in my cheek of my fanny here. Let me pull that out. I was hoping it was Cupid's bow, but it's just a V I tripped over. Anyway, back to the podcast. Sorry about that. That's a pretty long meandering intro. Take your mind off stuff. I posit that that was both ridiculous and reasonable because, you know, this is the kind of stuff I do the thinking about because it's totally unnecessary to wonder what letters are the most trippable. But when you think about it, you say, well, he kind of has a point. I don't think I'll find myself in anywhere in human history except preschool walking on letters, or maybe like some I don't know, maybe some other thing, you know, maybe the world will change and we'll be walking on letters, and then Scoots will probably be like not putting people to sleep. He'll be he'll be the kid president's assistant to the kid president. But for now, I'll just use my power to take your mind off stuff, because you say, well, okay, I wouldn't want to have to step over an X, because who knows, might as well just step over a pricker bush, you know, like you say, or V or W, like, just be careful around those letters, please. Why? Because you got to also watch out for the U, the J, the I, and the E. And that's why I'm here to help. Little bonus info about stepping around letters or over them. But I'm glad you're here. Give this podcast a few tries. It doesn't work for everybody, but for most people it works for, it takes a few times. I appreciate you coming by, and I really hope and I yearned help you fall asleep, all right? Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's time for like a random episode or a trending Tuesday episode that could come out on a Wednesday or Sunday. Or kind of like this is, we've only done this once with the show. And I've been wanting to do it again. And then I was like, I'll explain it. But then I realized that there'd have to be outreach. And I kept putting it off because I said, well, you know, Max is really the only person that I kind of know on the internet that's involved in the gaming business. And I don't know if I know Max T well enough. Another personal hero, somebody that's really out there doing great things out there in the world and making great podcasts in addition to games. Max T at Cards. Even that, I said, well, that'd take too much thinking and worrying to get a hold of Max. So I said, okay, let's just put this idea on the shelf again, Scoots, till till that Wizard of Oz thing happens and they give me the courage certificate and I can hang that up in the podcast studio. But then I found myself in beautiful downtown Oakland, California, with some extra time on my hands. And I wandered into a game shop, and I, so this will be the setup. I always do things a little bit out of order, which I've been meaning, so now I'll jump it back. I guess this is like a meander, or this is more like a bend, or maybe this is a distraction. Not sure. I was thinking of something. No, just kidding. But so I've been meaning to get a new game anyway for Sophia and I to play at the dinner table. Because of all the luxury problems I have, I constantly have to be disciplining Sophia for reading at the dinner table. I mean, not really, unless we're usually in the morning. I say, can you put that book away? You got to eat breakfast. But usually at dinner, I say, well, let's get some more bonding in here. And I say, you know, I can only do, if you listen to podcasts, you know, say, well, I got, you know, I need subtext in my life, not just in the fiction and nonfiction I consume, but in order to handle the real world, I need subtext and layers. So I said, well, what about some family bonding, competitive family bonding at dinner? Let's get a new game to play at the dinner table. And so I found myself in this board game store and I said, okay, let's look. And I was looking around and I was the only person in there because it was the middle of the day and the person working or maybe the owner of the store or the manager was like, hey, can I help you? And at first I said, I gave the look. I said, no, let's not do that. Let's just, I can't handle that yet. He said, give me about 15 minutes to peruse or fake peruse. And I looked at some games and I was actually buying time. So then I said, they said, well, can I help you? And I told them, I said, I'm looking for a 2-player game. I could play at the dinner table with my imaginary friend. I should have said that. That would have been funny, but I didn't. Yeah, he said, okay. And I said, what do you think of this game here? And he said, that's a pretty good one. And we were talking about it. And then he kind of was like, what about a game? And I didn't tell him this, but I said, it has to be a card game because I took the bus and I got to put it in my pocket. But he steered me towards a couple actual board games because it was a board game store. And then we were talking games for a little bit. And I said, I think I'm going to get this one. I also want to use your facilities, but I'm really going to buy this. Don't worry. And so I bought this game, and that leads into the, why. It's we did the Goonies game unboxing back in Goonies week, whenever that was. I think it was in 2017. I don't know if it was in the spring or the summer. And I said, man, that was really fun, unboxing. This will be more of an unwrapping and box opening because it's a card game. And so I haven't reached out to the manufacturer or the creator of the game. So this is what's interesting. It's very rare. I mean, I guess I could put it out anyway because it's like free advertising for the game. And I think if I just credit them, I'm covered. But, I think of a courtesy, I would reach out to them and they say, oh, no, I tried your podcast. Like, in case it's a person that's left a 1-star review, they say, I tried your podcast. But I don't think so. And I think, it's a good thing. And ideally, this will be very immersive. Now, there will be occasional sound effect. I mean, not sound effects, but I'll try to keep it off the mic. But there will be slight unwrapping because it still has a cellophane on it. So this is a true unboxing because I think going into it fresh, it brings the thrill of the unboxing videos without the unboxing, without the tech, the tech products are usually what get unboxed. And yeah, so this will be good. So I'm going to unwrap it first so that there's only a little bit of thing. And then I can crossfade too. So I'll stop talking and unwrap it and maybe leave the sound effect in. But there, you just heard a little bit of it. Okay, so let's get the credits out here first. And ideally, it'll be in the show notes and a link, and I'll have permission. But the game is trademarked. but I'm going to say the name of the game last. It's by Keith Baker, K-E-I-T-H Baker. And the manufacturer is Atlas Games, but the copyright is 2015 Trident Inc. Doing business as Atlas Games. And the names of the games are trademarks of Trident Inc. All rights are reserved, so I don't know. But what I'm just going to be doing is I won't use any pictures of the game. So this is all in your imagination. And you could check out their games at atlas-games.com or just Google Atlas Games. Or better yet, go to your local game store. And here's the big reveal. The name of the game is and you know I love titles and humor, is Fairy Tale Gloom. And it's the size of a double pack of cards, so a rectangle. And then it says, the game of grim incidents and unhappily ever afters. And on the cover, it has a Wolfie Poo in bed, and then a cat in boots, I guess Puss in Boots, with an apple, giving it to Wolfie Poo. There's also some hidden cookies. Then there's a tree, like a woodcutter, that's made of wood coming in. So that's the cover, the front art, and it's really, really good art. And then here's the teaser on the back. And there is an original game called Gloom, and I was struggling between, and this is where I say I'm growing as a person in a second, I'll tell you, but the original game Gloom looked pretty good too, especially for my daughter. We're big into, we watched all the Addams Family movies, like the first two. A lot of times, and I think she read, she's read a lot of his books, so this is kind of humor. Yeah, but then I said, oh, and then, so then I asked the person, I said, this Fairy Tale Gloom, is it an expansion pack? Do I need the original Gloom, or can I play it? And he said, no, you could play it by itself, and I said, terrific, I said, sold, if I can use your bathroom, this pack of cards is sold, and I said, you have yourself a deal, contingent on restroom usage. So here we go. This is the back. It says, let's see, I mean, some of them, the delightful yet untimely, not so great stories of childhood. And I'm changing some of this around, paraphrasing it. Let's face it, fairy tales are awful. Giants fall from the sky, Wolfie Poos and old women run around. People take porridge without permission. And tell tales of stuffy stuffing. Fairy Tale Gloom is a card game about what really happens to characters, fairy tale characters like Jack, Gretel, and Puss in Boots. Unfortunate thingamajigs where heroes get tricked by foxes, give up on grandma, and cry Wolfie Poo too many times. And here's what this person at the game store really liked. It has award-winning gameplay with clear cards. Unique, transparent cards stack on top of each other to make scoring easy. The points you see are the points in play. It's that simple. And it's for 2 to 4 players. It takes 60 minutes, age 13 and up. Sophia's a strong 10, so I'd say, we'll see when I look at these cards, because she hasn't seen the game. She knows I have it. I said, yeah, we're going to play this game this weekend. Okay, so I'm opening the box, and there are two things of cards in here. So I'll open the cards. I'll be right back. Okay, and when I was opening the cards, I accidentally found the instructions. I thought the instructions might be card size, but they're in the box. So we'll do the, kind of like we did with the Goonies game, we'll go through the cards and figure out if we can determine the gameplay. The cards are clear and comes with 2 card effect cards, which we'll look at last, because those probably tell some secrets. And so this is the first deck of cards. It comes with Snow White, who is the fairest of them all. And she's got an unfortunate appetite for apples. And again, the art is really creative. And there's like a lot of extra art on the cards. And then on the back of it, it says gloom. So I don't know if like you flip these cards over, must be part of the gameplay. The next card is a little mermaid, a fish out of water. And she's kind of sitting there. She's not Ariel. She has really big eyes, and she's leaning on a rock with a bird on it. And she's kind of staring either at the water or her tail. Oh, I guess her tail, because it says she's trying to get a leg up in her pursuit of love. And there's even like it's like their pictures are framed, and at the top of her frame is a book, and at the bottom of it is the masks from like Comedy and Tragedy. And again, really detailed. Next up is Joe the Giant. He's an occasional ogre or org. Ogre. I always get it. Remember? I get that org and ogre. It's O-G-R-E, though. Ogre. Ogre. Org. At some point in my childhood, maybe I got orc and org, you know, I got those two mixed up permanently. And it burned a pathway in my brain. And he is a purple person, like a kind of purple giant with pointy ears. And he's scratching, it looks like he's scratching his chin. And he actually is dressed. So he has a belt on and a vest, a button-up vest and pants, no shoes. I can't tell. You know, this is the podcast closet. So pretty interesting. And it says he just wants to make an honest living collecting bridge tolls and selling golden eggs. And he's contemplating, it looks like he's contemplating a vine. Next card is the prince, who's remarkably charming. And he looks like a kind of prince you'd see in like the fractured fairy tales with Bullwinkle the Moose. Those used to be out when I was a little. He likes Sleeping Beauty's long hair. Dislikes witches' thorns. No frogs, please. And he's doing a thing where you put your thumb up and you point at a person when you like go click, click with your mouth, like, hey, looking good. He's doing that move. And he has a giant grin. You know, like $1,000 smile. He's wearing a purple cape, which is flowing in the breeze, a hat with a feather in it, and like really sharp. I mean, very prince, very fairy tale prince like. Now, this could be our first controversy because all of the seven dwarves are on one card. They can't be happy about that. You'd say, who is it, Grumpy or Grouchy, would say, what the heck, we only get one card? It says, a band of brothers. They've been grumpy ever since the dragon stole their gold. Wait, is that the right story? And the light in here is not ideal, so I can't, especially with clear cards. But there's definitely seven of them. These look like a little more human. They all have beards and different style mustaches and beards, different shades of gray, red, and brown. And they're kind of all cramped into the frame. And they're really, like, looking hard. And here's one of our favorite cards. The stepmother, frequently L-I-V-E or E-V-I-L. Is that the first time I realized that E-V-I-L and L-I-V-E were the same, reversed? It's not her fault. She was misled by her mirror. And she's looking, I can't tell, like, if she's side-eyed or what, but there is a mirror in the background. Her hand's on her chin. And she has a sharp chin, and her hair's not, I can't tell if that's her hair or she's wearing like some sort of a veil or head covering. She does not look very charming at all, though. Nothing like Agatha. And here's another character from Sleep With Me, kind of, the witch. Often, this one, often wicked awesome. I added that, She's got kids at her cottage and farmers taking her grains, enough to make anyone cast a curse. And this witch is like stirring a cauldron with a ladle. Looks like she's about to taste it. She has one eye closed and one eye open. It looks like she almost has a marsupial pouch with some sort of a friend of hers in it. And she has the, like, I like this. She has the witch's hat, but it ends in like a curlicue, kind of like from Nightmare Before Christmas style art versus being pointy. So it's a witch. This one is Wolfie Poo, both big and bad. He'll huff and he'll puff, and he might just go visit your grandmother and give her a kiss, Wolfie Poo. And this has a like a shadow. It's all in shadows, but it kind of shows a smiling Wolfie Poo ready to howl at the full moon and say, hey, I'm here to lick and kiss anyone who needs it. Then we have the woodsman, helpful huntsman. He's a lumberjack and he's okay. I think that's from, I can hear that song now in my head, Monty Python, I think, sang it. And he looks very serious. He's ready to cut some wood. He's wearing, it looks like mittens, from what I can tell. A very full beard and a full head of hair. A thick green jacket on. So he's ready to go out in the woods and chop some wood. How much wood would a woodsman wood? Yeah, I guess we need a W. How much wood would a woodsman whack? Doesn't quite fit, but that's the woodsman. And then is Goldilocks. She's a furniture critic, and she looks like a grouchy kid, a little bit like a younger Farouk Assal. And she's going to come in and she may sleep in your bed or use your chairs. And she kind of looks a little bit like she's pouting and she's looking at a chair. It doesn't exactly like it look like a kid you'd want, even if you were, you know, surprised sleeping in your house, especially if you were one of the three little bears. Okay, now we're into a different kind of card. So these cards were the character cards, seemingly. And they're clear. All the cards are clear, as I said, and but they have black, white writing on black backgrounds. And the backs of the cards all say gloom with a crow or a raven on the back. So I guess when the card's not in use, you turn it to gloom, or when you can no longer use it in the game. Now, these next cards is probably some kind of action card. They're black writing on a blue background. And again, lots of details. Like in the four corners of these cards, one has a set of scissors, another has an apple, another has a mushroom, and then the last one has a bottle of something. And then the pictures still have a frame. And let's see, this one says, pay the piper. It looks like it has boots with wings on it, maybe. And it says, all players, including you, must remove one unfinished character from the game, then remove this card from the game. It also has a single pip on it, so I don't know if that's a number, like just a single circle. It looks like some sort of dice pip, just bigger. But I don't know if that's just so you can see it through the cards. So I don't know. So I guess like that's interesting. We already learned that there's unfinished characters in the game. So that's pay the piper. The next card is Emperor's New Clothes. Okay. So it still has the same picture in the frame of like, boots and the woodsman's tools and some other stuff. And this says discard all modifier cards on one unfinished character. So these must all apply to one unfinished character. And I guess I do wonder if this game's going to be a little bit like Munchkin, where you like have a character and then you can add all these modifiers around them. This one says, the galoshes of fortune. That's funny. choose two unfinished characters and swap their top modifier cards. So it's interesting. So it is like characters with modifier cards. So this is, we're learning. And all these cards have had one pip on them. Next one is movie rights. Place this card under a story card. For the rest of the game, that story cannot be moved. This one is the love's true love's kiss. Cancel and discard an unhappy ending card as it's played. Or remove and discard an unhappy ending card from a character. So this seems like a powerful card, very powerful. Hold on to that one. Lived in a shoe. This one has different art. It says the end, like a book. And it says worth an additional plus 10 with the money icon. It's a tight fit, but it's got a bit of soul or got a lot of soul. That's hardy har har. So maybe these are story cards. Make a nice meal. Worth an additional minus 10 for the goblet or flying bird card. According to Three Bears, you were just right. Here's another one that says, make one last meal. Again, it says it has a picture of the book. It says the end. You could play this unhappy ending card on any unfinished character with the sun icon, regardless of a self-worth score. You know, so there's another learning opportunity. There's a self-worth score. I wonder if I could keep these in my pocket. It's the deal of a lifetime, literally. One last deal. Never came home. This one is worth an additional minus 10 with the bird icon. Home is where Wolfie Poo is waiting in Granny's nightgown. Didn't wake up to their alarm. It's worth an additional minus 10 with the star or bust icons. You snooze, you lose. I mean, bust, like the bust of the head of a statue. Use the wrong cup, worth an additional minus 10 with the cup icon. You chose poorly. This one used up 9 lives. You didn't just waste your time. You wasted 9. Yeah, I'll try to speed through these ones. Had to deal with the stepsisters. That's negative. Maybe you shouldn't have called them ugly stepsisters quite so often, huh? His carriage turned up late. It's nearly midnight and the pumpkin driver's late. And this is the last one in this one. Worked far too hard. Hi-ho, hi-ho, oh no. Now we're on to a new style card, which seems to utilize, this must be a modifier card, because it is clear where the, in the center of the card is clear. Like there's no art. So if you had a person, a framed person or place, it would go over it. Then it has a circle with a negative 10 on the left corner. In the middle right, it has a negative 15 circle. And then on the right side, it has a wand. And it says, at least new legs. It says, and the player to your right may randomly select and keep one card from your hand. They're all yours for a song. Well, all your songs. This one is a negative 25. It has a money symbol and a love symbol. It's about getting married. It says getting married. So these ones are not super interesting. Met Wolfie Poo. So these are like modifier cards. Needed to know a name. These are all negatives. So I don't know if you're supposed, this might be one of those games where you're supposed to lose points. Purloined some porridge. That's pretty funny. So the writing in these games is really good. Saved both slippers. Shouldn't have strayed. Here's a new card, though. This one has Sleeping Beauty in the middle under spotlights, and it says, slipped off into Slumberland. And if you get this one, you can't play an event card. It's got negative 10, negative 10, negative 10. So you probably don't want that one. It kind of skips your turn. Here's one with a plus 10 or minus 25. Took a sword from a stone. Each player whose family has a wand icon and it must discard all event cards from their hands. Don't be a sword loser. So again, this is allergic to apples. This card is negative 10. Who takes fruit from a stranger anyway? Was caught by a curse. That's negative 30. Definitely don't want that one. Wish to have the curse reversed. You'll need a certain potion first. Discard your entire hand. Fooled by fairies. They don't play fair. Fooled by a fox. You didn't want those cards anyway. So there's a pretty like robust number of these cards that I'm going to try to skip over here. And let's see. It is cool that they do have a card feel to them, even though they're clear and they're pretty stiff. Then there's one with a frog prince sitting on a lily pad, flies nearby. And it says, was turned into a toad. Your draw limit is decreased by one card. Try not to croak. And it says negative 10, negative 10. And let's see here. So here's a little hint into the rules, because these are like the hint the cards on your card. First, it take two actions from among these options. Play an event for its effect, then discard it. Play a modifier on a character and leave it there. Play an unhappy ending on a character with negative self-worth as your first action only. Even though it's no offense, but I said, well, that's C on the list. I would make it A. Claim a story if your family meets its requirements. Discard your entire hand or pass your action by doing nothing. Then second, so first you can take two actions. Then you can draw up back up to your draw limit, which is five, unless you have an effect that's changed it. And then card effects, there's different card effects applied to the player who they were played on, not necessarily the player who played them. There's immediate effects, which are resolved right away. Continuous effects, which continue, they each have a different symbol. The immediate effects is an arrow going to the right. Continuous effects is a circle with an arrow inside it going to the left. Kind of like continues to affect the game for as long as their effects text is visible. Persistent effects, which is two kind of circles rotating in clockwise order. Keep working for as long as the portrait picture remains visible, even if their effect text is covered. And then response effects can only be played during another player's turn in response to something specific. And then there's another deck of cards, but I'm going to skip the, like, action cards and go to the characters, and then we'll go to the rules. So here we go. These are the characters in the other deck. Baby Bear, who's a porridge enthusiast. Nobody puts Baby Bear in a corner, and it's a bear looking at an empty bowl of porridge, unhappy. Then there's a Barnabas Porker, an enterprising little pig. And I just dropped all the cards on the floor. So I'm going to keep going, though, because I still have some character cards. But just full disclosure, I went to turn and they all fell on the floor, except for the ones in my hand, which is Cinderella, a mysterious maid. And she's holding her glass slipper, kind of smiling. She's got glass slippers and a pumped-up pumpkin. It's good to have a godmother. Then we have a grandmother. Your grandmother says, as if her teeth weren't strange enough, rumor has it she swallowed a fly. And it's kind of a picture of a sweet woman with a watch on or something in bed reading a book. Really, it's very charming. Then we have Hansel and Gretel. It says homewreckers. They look a little bit like a Charlie Brown drawing meets Calvin and Hobbes. These kids will eat you out of house and home, really. And they're kind of eating candy from the house. Then we have Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk. All of his problems amount to a hill of beans, and he looks very eager. He's just climbing the vine. Oh, then the wooden boy was Pinocchio from the cover, a living doll. He's a head by a nose. That's Pinocchio. How about Puss in Boots? He's a clever cat. And he's kind of got his eyes closed, and he's putting out his hand to get five. He's making his mark with his made-up marquee. Making his mark with his made-up marquee. Then I have one with the harp, like the singing harp or harp or whatever. It says, was rewarded with riches. And this seems to be a positive modifier card because it's got plus 10s on it. Was the belle of the ball. That's a modifier, plus 20. Then there's one, went back to bed. There's one from Beauty and the Beast, became a beast. Discard one card from your hand. So it's a negative modifier. Okay, I picked up the cards from the floor, but the podcast studio looks a little bit like, I don't know if you listen to Dear John and Hank, but how John says his car looks. There's a lot of stuff on the floor of the podcast studio, papers and stuff. So hopefully I didn't lose any cards down there. But these other cards, there's some modifiers. Let's do some modifiers with pictures. There's the magic mirror. And the magic mirror looks like it's giving out bad advice. Worth a negative 15 points. There's an ugly duckling card with a bunch of ducklings. These must be family cards because this is a negative 10 points for each family member. Brick house, cancel and discard cards, fee, fi, fo, fum, happy ending, into the woods, midnight. These must be the story cards, maybe. Cried wolf once too often. Dealt with some skin stuff, became foam. Prepared a picnic. Let's see what else you got. Did a dance off. That looks fun. Was ravishing. Here's Rapunzel. She was one of the, must have been a character card. Fair-haired and balanced. She's not one to split hairs. Red Riding Hood, Granny's girl. She knows all too much about life in the hood. There's a buddy Rumpelstiltskin, who's like a family card. Fairy Godmothers, like, must be a family card. Golden Goose, these look like good cards to have. Maybe not, though. Went up on a trip, dealt with some things. Yeah, I had to fix the cards because a lot of them were upside down. Came down from the sky. Gets married, nothing to do. So these are all like end of story cards. Lived happily ever after. That must be a good one. Brought down a beanstalk. That looks like a good, powerful card. Found first love. Holy mackerel. This game's got everything. Got a gift from the godmother. Came into a crown. That's worth plus 25. So keep an eye out for that. Carried a compass. Outwitted by an orc or an ogre, which would be both for me. Majestically. And that's the end of the card. So let's just take a quick look at the instructions because I can't really get a good idea of, even after looking at the cards, I have no idea how many hours this is going to take me to learn the game. And then have my daughter see through that I don't really understand the game and see the tactical advantage it gives her. That's what usually happens with my dyslexia. My daughter uses this to say, well, Dad, I don't think it, like, I say, okay. So that's negative 5,000 for me, really. So this is the rules for fairy tale gloom. Not too big. And there are quick start rules, which is nice. So the overview is the character, each player has a family, and this will be paraphrased. Four characters. The players are trying to make their own family the most miserable while cheering up the other player's family. So that's what the person at the store was saying was fun. Characters can become sad or happy primarily by having modifier cards played on them. And each modifier affects the character's mood. And there's event cards you can play for immediate effects. As the game continues, the characters' individual stories come to a close. One by one, as unhappy ending cards are played on them. When an entire family has had an unhappy ending, the game ends. And you total up the scores of how they're feeling, and the most miserable player wins the game. Okay, so you set it up by dividing the 20 character cards on the table where everybody can see them, and each player chooses four. All cards are laid face up on the table in front of their owners where the other players can see and reach them. And return any unused characters to the box. You don't use them. Then you deal the cards. Set aside the story cards and the reference cards. Shuffle the rest of the cards in the deck. Deal five cards to each player, face down. And put the rest of the deck in the center of the table with a discard pile. Stories. Randomly choose two story cards and lay them face up where everyone can see and reach them, but where they won't be confused with the discard pile. This is going to be interesting with dinner plates involved. Return the rest of the story cards to the box. They won't be used. Begin. Each player briefly summarizes how their day's going and how well it's not going. And the player with the roughest story gets to go first. The game's owner chooses whose tale is the most miserable if there's a disagreement. Okay, so quick start. Rules in this section will get you started playing it right away. But there are cardinal rules, too, which we kind of went through. There's events that have immediate effects and are discarded. There's modifiers and there's unhappy endings. And you can take two actions and then make sure you have five cards in your hand. But that's not all. Fairy tale gloom is the most fun when the player taking an action tells or continues a story. Oh, so this is also a storytelling game. Think of it this way. You're creating a fairy tale with the cards you play. How is it that Cinderella became a toad? Did she find a magic lamp or what happened? Was it a leprechaun? Why was Pinocchio pursued by a prince? Did he blow his nose on his pocket square? You decide and you let the other players, you tell the other players in an interesting way. There are no formal rules for fairy tale gloom storytelling and no right answers. But that doesn't mean it's not important. Quite the opposite. Many gloom players think of telling tales as the best part of the game. Fairy tale gloom cards are transparent in some areas and opaque in others. As the game goes on, cards are often stacked on top of each other. Modifier cards on top of player character cards, as well as on top of previous modifiers. As the modifier cards stack up, there's different worth values, card effects, and story icons that are covered up and replaced. The cardinal rule of fairy tale gloom in bold is that you only pay attention to what you can see. If worth points are concealed, they no longer affect the character's score. If a story icon is covered, the character no longer has it. And if effect is hidden, it no longer does anything. Persistent effects are the exception to this. Your cards have an anatomy here. There's the name, what is the card called, the self-worth points in different circles, the story icons, the deck icon, the effects, the flavor text. Oh boy, I love that flavor text. Delightful or dreadful bits of story and commentary that provide entertaining ambiance. Flavor text is distinguished from effects text with italics. The portraits are entertaining or comic and delightful to behold. Some illustrations make it easy to tell cards apart. Modifiers never have in illustrations unless they have a persistent effect. Other pictures make it easy to tell unfinished characters from finished characters, and all unhappy endings bear the same image. So we know that with an unhappy ending. So let's see. We got a few more minutes here. There's different types of cards. We kind of went through that. Character cards, event cards, which have names, effects, and share a common portrait image showing a pair of winged boots. So winged boots are the ones with the event cards. And I was right. And then the clear cards with just the circles are modifier cards. You can only play modifier cards on unfinished characters. So that is characters. Oh, this is helpful. That is characters without unhappy endings. So sooner you can put an unhappy ending on your character, the sooner you have them locked in, I guess. Then there's unhappy ending cards. You can't play an unhappy ending as a second turn card. You can only play unhappy endings on a character with a negative worth score. Once a character sees their unhappy ending, set it aside in a way that is clear that it's finished. Then there's story cards. Each story cards have names and effects. Each one has a unique purple portrait, and a special portion is it's a requirement, a type of and quantity of story icons, and they're never shuffled into the deck. And only two at a time are used ever in a single game. Game story cards begin the game uncontrolled on the loose and in the center of the table, not claimed by any player's family. In the course of play, though, any player can claim an uncontrolled story card by spending an action to do so, as long as the player's family meets the story requirements. For example, Rumpelstiltskin's requirement is two statue bust icons, and if your family collectively shows two statue bust icons, you meet the requirements. And players can, you know, there's other stuff. There's special actions like discarding your hand and getting new cards or passing. You can draw cards, free play. So some modifier and event make you get a free play. There's alternate rules. You can assign characters if people can't decide at the beginning which characters they're going to be, or give them out randomly. Rather than randomly deciding on stories, you can choose stories if the players can agree. Or you can play a very simple fairy tale gloom and ignore every card's effect text. This can be a good way to learn the game for the first time with younger children. And we went over the effect categories, so let's get to the important stuff. Most important for most children, but not all. Some like to actually have fun or just enjoy telling stories, is winning the game. The game ends immediately and when all the characters in one family are finished. That is when they all have unhappy endings on them. When the game ends, each player adds up the worth cards. And all this is going to be hard for me because adding negative and positive numbers is rough. Each character's values are as a sum of their point values showing in the stack. The player with the lowest total is the one who wins, whose family is the most miserable. And right here are the credits, so we'll see who did the art here. Concept and game design is by Keith Baker. Producers are Michelle Nephew, Jeff Tidball, and Kyla McCorkle-Tonding. The illustrations are by Jaume Fabregat, J-A-U-M-E-F-A-B-R-E-G-A-T. The layout is by Kyla McCorkle-Tonding. Publisher is John Nephew. Here's a playtester, some lucky people. Veronica Burns, Curtis Chen, Kenna Conklin, I don't know, I get some see-through on this paper, so it's tough. Jen Ellis, Veronica Ewing, Richard Molina, J. Ryan Potts, D. Ansel, Tristan Tarwater, many more. And a special thanks goes out to Cam Banks, Jessica Banks, a bunch of other people. But I might as well say Bob Brendelson, Jerry Corrick, Lisa Olson, and Travis Winter. And like I said, this game's copyright of Atlas Games, Trident Incorporated. Who would have known that Atlas Games is run by a secret giant corporation? I'm just kidding, Atlas Games and Trident Inc. Don't get gloomy about it. So this is gloom, and hopefully soon me and my daughter will have a fun-filled, gloomy evening with this board game. And, you know, you can tweet me, get me on Twitter at Dear Scooter or something, and ask me how it's going. Thanks. I want to thank everybody that supported the show on Venmo and PayPal. I want to thank Jamie, Turner. Thanks and good night. Kathy, Jay, and Brianna. Thank you. Thanks and good night. And then over on PayPal, I want to thank and say good night to Nicole, Devin. Thanks and good night to both of you. To Michael, thanks and good night. To David, thank you and good night. Alicia, thank you and good night. Sacred S, thank you, thanks and good night. Mike J, thank you, thanks and good night. Cade, thank you, thanks and good night. Andrea, thanks and good night. Margo, thank you and good night. Daniel, thanks and good night. Elizabeth, thank you, thanks and good night. Ryan, thank you, thanks and good night. Jeremy, thank you, thanks, and good night. And Edward, thanks, and good night. And I want to thank people who wrote some reviews over at Apple Podcasts. Joan Jett, holy heartbreaker, sleep with me. Found it 10 days ago on the advice of a college student friend. Recommend trying it. Usually fall asleep, but I find myself waking up with a few hours after a few hours. And this helps me get back to sleep. Thanks. Wish I had known about the podcast sooner. This is from Geeky Girl ADI. Addie, maybe. Can't recommend it enough. Anytime you hear someone dealing with insomnia, recommend this podcast. Snoozy emoji, heart over a heart emoji. Thank you. Yeah, it puts me to sleep better than waterfalls. By the way, don't go chasing those waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the whatever you're used to. But this one is voice so boring and flat, basically blabbering about nothing. Puts me into sleep so good. I love this podcast. I listen to it even when I don't have a sleeping problem. Thank you. And that's from High Jail. I think J-A-E-L. Hey Jaley, sorry I messed that up. Holy waterfall, I'm chasing waterfalls in my brain. ECG says, I have no idea what this is about. 5 stars, so I'm always asleep. Even after Dawson been turning, it puts me out in like 10 minutes. Then I have a car from Germany, 1 star. I don't know if these are bad words, though. It's all in German. Pueres gererde. And then everything. So they clearly didn't like it. I can tell. There's a lot of four-letter words in here and three-letter words. So that's okay. Because Moondog listens every night. When their husband was out of town, you know, they'd have trouble falling asleep. So funny, weird, and oddly soothing, shared with the husband, and now he listens too. Just engaging enough to take your mind off, but boring enough you won't miss anything. And we support it on Patreon because it's part of our bedtime routine. Thank you, Moondog. And then Olgensen says, I listen every night. Discovered it again one night. This is back-to-back. Is this the same one? Another one... that must be the husband and wife team are reviewing it. Thank you. So that was the husband of, the very similar review. Thank you. Then Love Ride doesn't like the podcast and At least they gave it 2 stars. But it seemed like they wanted to give it 1 star, but they might have felt guilty. So they did say it was random and puzzling, but not in a good way. Incredible, though. That comes from Sam Apple. Grateful for the existence of the podcast. You know, sleeping can be rough. I had the flu, but was still wide awake. Scooter helped put me to sleep for 8 hours. Especially when you have the flu, I'm happy to help. Colin Cascadia said, mission accomplished. Never stayed awake past the intro. Me in New Hampshire says, they in New Hampshire say, life-changing. I've listened to 20, 30 episodes, haven't heard all the way through. Sleeping again. CW Call says, the only podcast my wife and I listen to together, but building bridges between couples, Sleep With Me. This is one of my new favorite podcasts. Started listening about a year ago. Couldn't get into it. And then my wife was having trouble sleeping, so I thought I'd give it another chance and listened to it a couple times and we're hooked. Just like, so funny how many reviews say that. Thanks. Terendipity, peace for my mind. I have wear many hats. The show allows me to forget, especially when it's physical, what keeps me up. I'd sleep a lot less if it wasn't for you. Well, that's nice to hear. My whole life is different and my attitude is better. Thanks. And Natty says, it's interesting, but works well. First time I was confused because I wasn't sure what was happening. Still fell asleep. Each time I fall asleep faster and faster. Great podcast. Thanks. Bebop. What is a band without bebop? That's what I always ask. They don't need it, but they love it. I love this podcast, bizarre little podcast. That's the best. Don't need it to fall asleep, but I want it. Love the droning voice and insanely detailed world. Thank you. And finally, Sleepy comes in from Eb H, who loves Doctor Who, Game of Thrones, grocery shopping. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. And appreciate just taking the effort. Even those of you that just give us star reviews, that's a huge boost. And, it helps skeptical people say, what is this thing? Well, it has, so thank you so much and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have 4 podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes, and nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you
that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. That's cool. That's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.